Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
We're joined now by a man that we've had on the program many times. It's at times been a little bit of a tempestuous relationship, but I think we worked everything out last time with David Cassidy. David?
I think we have. I'm not sure about that, but since I'll play along with this idea that we've worked everything out. How about that?
Excellent.
Wait a second.
For the audience's benefit, why not?
I mean, there was some kind of an incident where we were playing our ding bell. And
ding bell.
Yeah.
That says it all, doesn't it? We've got a ding bell.
And it cost
a morning radio hysterical.
Well, David, it's not quite as funny as ABC Family Television. That is one thing.
No,
that
it
we can
be honest with you. This is the funniest thing I've ever done.
Really?
Talking to you guys this morning. doing Ruby and the Rockets.
Yeah.
I always cringe when actors come on and start talking about their latest movie or their latest television project. And they say things that you just go, oh, no, don't say it. But I mean it when I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, it's the best thing I've ever done.
No.
Ruby and the Rockets premieres next Tuesday night. See for yourself.
Yeah.
ABC Family at 8:30. There's the plug.
Was it difficult? Was it difficult for them to get you to return to television?
No, it was Sean and my brother Sean Cassidy, my brother Patrick Cassidy, and I went into ABC and said, "Here's what we want to do. We've been talking about working together for years." Sean's been a very successful writer.
Great shows, by the way.
Executive producer for television for the last 10, 15 years.
Sean's solo record, first album ever owned by Greg Hill.
Really?
First, yes,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I will tell him that this morning.
It had The Do Run Run.
Big hit.
Yeah, big hit.
Seven top 10 records.
Well, I loved him on the Hardy Boys. I mean, he was great.
Hardy Boys
is awesome.
And I loved his...
I think millions of others did the same.
Yes. I loved his last series, Invasion, on ABC. I thought it was canceled way too soon.
Yeah, very good series.
Yes.
He's created a couple of really very dark. This is very different for him, but it's the writing staff we have. He and Marsh McCall, who ran and was the head writer, executive producer of Just Shoot Me. We have writers from Seinfeld, from Frasier. It's a fantastic creative environment to be in, and they're brilliant.
Now, Invasion,
and I'm very fortunate to inherit their humor, their comedy genius, I would call it.
Invasion, was that about having sex with Meredith Baxter?
I don't believe so.
Oh,
okay. just off the top of my head, I'm not really sure.
Because you guys know.
But can
that
we talk about the Sharks?
The what?
Sharks.
I don't know what
Red Sox, man.
Oh,
the Sox. The Nation.
So they're on. Yes, we're on fire. We're in first place.
Yes, you are. And the Yankees lost three straight to their nemesis from the West Coast.
Yes.
I have a tremendous respect for the Boston Red Sox.
Really?
I was born and raised in New York and have been a lifelong Yankee fan, which I'm sure everybody's turning off the radio now. Sorry. But I am in awe of what an amazing organization the Red Sox are. And, you know, their pitching staff is incredible. They continually rebuild. The few of the players on that team, you marvel at how they put that team together. And I'm happy that Big Pappy's now really starting to hit again. He's deadly, and he kills the Yankees.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we get Halliday?
I don't believe that's going to happen.
Oh, you don't?
You know, I think that. I don't think that Toronto is going to trade him to the American League East.
Yes.
It's just insane.
I know.
You don't need him. The only reason the Red Sox, I think, would get him is to prevent the Yankees from getting him. I don't think either one of them. I think he could be a Dodger.
It's possible to join Manny.
Call would be the New York Mets.
The Mets, maybe.
Well, they need him badly.
Yeah,
that's a disaster what's happened there.
David Cassidy is our guest in his new show, which is called Ruby and the Rockets, premieres on Tuesday. I was wondering what you thought of Marty Ingles trying to pimp out Shirley Jones for Playboy there.
I don't discuss that.
Oh, really?
Well, anything that has to do with... I just can't indulge anyone who's you know, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Have you ever seriously considered seeing a 75-year-old woman in Playboy?
Yeah. No.
Let's talk about it. I don't care who she is. And by the way, Shirley looks better than any 75-year-old woman I've ever met.
Right, right.
But come on.
I have a lot of range, Dave. I got to tell you.
There's probably 75-year-old men who think about seeing a 75-year-old woman in
I'm sure you're right about that.
Yeah,
she's a beautiful woman. And
we've
been talking about possibly bringing her on to play Patrick and my mother.
Really?
Yeah, which could be really funny.
That would be
cool. And, yeah, it could be very, very funny if we do it right.
Did I read about
it
you?
It would certainly not be anything like the Partridge Family, I can tell you that.
Did I read about you that that you made Mad Passionate Love to Gina Lola Brigida?
I don't believe you read that.
I think I did. I think I read that you had.
You
some
love the way I dodged that.
Yes. we mean, need confirmation.
We got to know one another quite well.
That's
back
like
in,
a star.
'74.
That's a big star, right
that's
there.
A, yeah, that's
yeah, a good get.
Incredibly hot, and at the time she was like late 40s. She was smoking hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the most beautiful women I've ever met.
Really.
Yeah, she really, really was, and
you must have been in.
You know, she was a bombshell from the '50s, and I can remember being a little 10-year-old kid watching her in film, thinking. So when I grew up, and she happened to be in Australia at the same time, I was playing the Melbourne Cricket Grounds.
Yeah.
And I had her come out and introduce me to 70,000 people.
Wow.
70.
Those were the days.
Anyway,
I
had her introduce me that bright, sunny day at the Melbourne Cricket Grounds. And she was doing a photographic a book and asked me if I would pose for the book, as I had already posed somewhat naked on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Yes.
She got the idea I should be there with fruit. So we did this big, I think there probably you can find the book somewhere. Henry Kissinger's in it, a whole bunch of people from that were fairly significant from the 70s.
Nice.
Henry Kissinger was nude with fruit on?
No, I wasn't,
I
wasn't
one.
Nude either, by the way.
That schools me, David.
There was fruit involved.
I need to borrow this pineapple.
Yeah. That's pretty good, man.
You know,
I like it.
I had a woman who lived up the street from me named Cindy Crevens who had a photo of her with the beehive hairdo and everything. She won a date with you in Teen Beat or Tiger Meat magazine when she was a teenager.
She had a beehive hairdo?
Yeah, it was like a, you know, one of those back in the 70s. I guess that would be before the 70s. Maybe it was the late 60s.
That would be
even
the middle 60s.
Yeah.
Did you guys
she
ever
was stuck in the 60s is what you're saying.
when you guys were on those fanzine dates, did you actually end up smashing the person or was it just like a date?
No. It was actually very, very sanitary. How else can I describe it? It was very respectable.
Yes.
They would come and have a lunch or a dinner.
Right.
And someone from the magazine would be there, and the photographer would be there. No, it was all totally on the up and up.
David, you must have worked with Michael.
Nothing slanderous would be going on.
You must have worked with Michael Jackson at some point.
I got to know him a little bit back in the 70s. He was such a young guy, though. I mean, and a sweet young guy. I liked him a lot. I didn't get to know him, though. We were in the studio, the same studio at one time with the Jackson 5 were there, and I saw him once later, probably 77, 78, when he was just growing up, and he was very shy and very talented, but, you know, I've heard so much about it. Mental illness can destroy a talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're raised in an environment like that young guy was and put through what he was put through, saw it all come out in the last 10 or 15 years. I loved him as an artist. I thought he was the greatest young talent I'd ever been exposed to. And I thought his musical talent was unsurpassed at a very young age, But as the years evolved, I think his fame, I think all of the events that we have all been made aware of made it very difficult for him later on in the years for him to live up to that.
Yeah.
You know, at 50 years old, you're not going to be what you were at 20.
Well,
and particularly if you are such a phenomenal dancer, to be able to do that and to work and compete with, okay, I have the biggest album in the history of recording. How are you going to top that? Yeah. And the pressure of trying to do that is insurmountable. And it's very sad. His unhappiness, obviously, with what it took for him to survive fame. One of the reasons I left what I left in the 70s, and I was playing stadiums all over the world,
right,
and I walked away from it because I had no life. Yeah. I was living with security guards all the time and just no life. And, you know, it's very sad that he's gone, because I think there's truly a loss because of the impact he had on so many millions of people all over the world. And I think everybody has felt a certain loss. You know, having met him a couple of times, I didn't know him. He wasn't a friend of mine. But I cared a lot about him because he had such an impact on all of us.
Well, I'm glad that we have worked everything out and we're friends again.
We have.
And
all I can say is, if you think I'm jiving you, turn on Ruby and the Rockets Tuesday night at 8:30 on ABC Family.
Thank you.
And you will see that it's the best thing I've ever done.
Thank you, David Cassidy.
Thank you.
Okay.